Thank you. It is always great to be here at TNT. It's a tremendous privilege. I'll try to think, is this the first time that I've been here and spoken to TNT as the lead pastor? I don't remember, because I think the last time it was, we were headed that way, but it wasn't official. So yeah, it's great to be with you. I am excited to be here, as Pastor Nick said, at the end of the semester to talk about the end of things. But I wanted to ask if anybody is excited for the weekend. Do you get excited for the weekend? I get excited for the weekend. I'm so glad the weekend is here. And, you know, tomorrow we can all sleep in and we can all... Oh, wait, no, we can't do that because it's not the weekend yet. How many of you have to go to school or work tomorrow morning? So I actually don't, because tomorrow... Friday is my day off, so I don't have to, but you have to, so the majority of us have to. So it's a weeknight, and on a weeknight, how many of you have like a weeknight routine that's different than your weekend routine? Is your weeknight routine different than your weekend routine, or are you just like, it doesn't matter what day it is? Some of you are here with a different routine. So what is your weeknight routine like tonight? Like after TNT, what are you going to do? Yes, Daniel in the back, what's your routine? What's that? Video games. I dare not ask how late. So he's going to play video games. It sounds like a not too bad weeknight routine. Up here. Homework. Ah, yeah. Yeah, do you do that on weekends? Is that what you like? Friday night, you go and you're like, yeah, I want to do these. Yes, you have homework too. All right. Right here. What's your, eat food. That's a good routine. Yes. So ice bath, you got to get ready, limbered up for day of school coming up. Well, what if we could just suddenly change everything, snap of the finger, and we just skipped Friday, and or we, you know, today is just Friday, and so tomorrow is a weekend. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, everybody's like, woohoo! Yeah, we would be excited for that, right? The routine would change. Right, things, would your mood change? I know my mood would change, right? Our plans might change. You'd be like, hey, I can play more video games, or maybe you would eat more food, or do something different, maybe say I can put the homework off for a little bit. I'm asking those questions because what we're talking about tonight is the end, the future. You may think, oh, that's interesting, that's cool, but I don't know what that has for me today, because that is something in the future. But the reality is what we believe about the future matters because it affects how we think and feel right now. So what you think about tomorrow, if you think tomorrow is a school day, which it is, by the way, in case anybody was confused by that, what you think about tomorrow affects how you feel, how you act, and how you think in the present, right now. And so what we believe about the end matters. It matters because when you think about the future, when you think about the end, when you think about what's going to happen, it determines how you decide to live today. So we're talking about the end times. This is a really, really big topic. There's a lot of things that we could talk about with this. You could probably do an entire semester of TNT on just that. There's a lot of different passages of Scripture that talk about the end. God has a lot to say about the end. He doesn't just leave it a mystery for us, but he actually tells us quite a bit about the end. And I think that's because he knows that it affects how we live right now. So if you know at the end of class or at the end of a semester of class, there's going to be a test or a quiz, what do? If you want to do well on the test, you study. That's why, has anybody ever asked the question in class, is there going to be a test? Why do you ask that question? Because you want to study? I ask that question because I want to know how much do I need to pay attention. So maybe you'll be like, okay, Pastor Stephen, is there going to be a test at the end of this TNT? There's not going to be a test at the end of this. But if there were, and I had some great, where, you know, I give you $100 at the end of it, you might pay attention differently. So God has a lot to say about the end times. And there's a lot of different passages that talk about that. So, just as we start, what are some of the things that you think of or you know about the end times? Just when you think about that, what's something you think of that you know about the end, the future? Yes, Brandon. Death and destruction. Wow, sounds cheery. Death and destruction. So that's what's coming. Other things. Yes, Bronwyn. Freedom, no pain. Well, that sounds different than death and destruction a little bit. Interesting. Okay, other things. What are some other things you think about, know about the future? Yeah. What's that? Ah, so now we can figure this out. There's pain and difficulty, then happiness. So maybe that's how we work that out. Other things, yes. Ah, people will pretend to be God. Yeah, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of different potential. Technology, things changing, anything else? Yes, Joey. Jesus is coming back. Oh, that's important. I wonder if he's coming back before the death and destruction, after the death and destruction. Is he causing the death and destruction? You want to be on the right side of that, right? If it's death and destruction and happiness and no pain, that's an important distinction to know, right? So there's a lot of different things, different passages, and there are different ways to interpret those passages of Scripture, and a lot of complex things about how those different pieces relate in terms of the specific details of the timeline and the process and all that stuff. We could talk about that, but there are some things in Scripture that the Bible is just silent about. There are things that the Bible doesn't talk about. For example, I'm going to ask a question. How tall was Jesus as an adult? How tall? You think that's in the Bible? I already gave it away. I said it's not. Not in the Bible. You can't turn to a chapter and verse and say Jesus was this tall. Now, the Bible tells us how tall some people were. It tells us how tall Goliath was. So it's not like the Bible can't say that, but it doesn't tell us how tall Jesus is. So we don't know. And there's a reason we don't know, and that's because it's really not that important for us to know how tall Jesus is. So we could speculate, and we could say, well, we could come up with reasons from Scripture that he was short. You know, he wasn't, like, impressive. Tall people seem to be more impressive, or maybe we think they are, so maybe that's the case. But he is a king after all, so maybe he was tall, or maybe he was average. So we could come up with different reasons, but the point is, Scripture doesn't tell us because it's not that important. But one thing Scripture is absolutely clear about is that Jesus became a human being. That he was born, that he lived, that he grew, that he had a physical body. He was fully God and fully man. Scripture is very clear about that. He is God himself, the second person of the triune God, fully human, meaning he had a physical body that had a height. He had DNA. He had hair color, eye color, all of that stuff, but Scripture doesn't tell us what that is. But it does tell us that he was the God-man, because that's what's important. So there are things in Scripture that are really, really important. So as we talk about the end, Scripture has a lot to say about it. And what we want to do tonight is talk about those things that are most important for you to know. Not necessarily all the details. So I have four things that I want to go through tonight together that are really significant, that Scripture is absolutely clear on. Christians who are following the Lord, reading Scripture, all agree these things are true. So the first one is that Jesus will return just as he promised. Like Joey said, Jesus the King is coming back physically in his resurrected body. So, would somebody read for us Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11? Somebody want to read that for us, please? Acts chapter 1, 6 to 11. Who's got it? Who wants to read? All right, go for it. Thank you. Thank you. So note there in that passage, even the disciples had questions for Jesus about what was going to happen at the end. They say, is this the time? What does Jesus say? He doesn't answer their question. He actually says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but he tells them what they should do. He gives them the important information. But what we can see here specifically is that Jesus is coming back. They're there, they're with him. This is after the resurrection. A whole group of people, they're standing there, they see Jesus, and they see him physically, his body, go up, and caught up in the clouds, and they're like standing there looking, like, what do we do now? And then these angels appear, and they say, what are you doing? Why are you staring there? Jesus is going to come back, what does it say? Just as he ascended. So how is that? What does that tell us about his return? What is it going to be like? Just like he ascended, what's it going to be like? Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to come from the clouds, right, up in the sky. He'll descend. He'll come back to earth. Yeah, other things that it tells us. People will be able to see him, right, because they're watching him. Big crowd of people could see. People will be able to see it. When he ascended, he had a body, right? Physical body. They know it's Jesus. That's what the angels say. This Jesus. So it's not like he's still somewhere. He's left this physical presence, but he has a body. So he's coming back the same way as he left. So his return is promised. We know that that's going to happen. All right, another passage of scripture I want to read. We have this one up on the screen. This is Matthew 24, 29 to 31. So I'll just read this for us. You can go through the slides as we do that. So this is Jesus teaching his disciples. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. So what do we see from that passage of scripture as we read that? What stands out to you about the coming of Jesus? Anything in that passage stand out to you? You see as interesting, unique? What's it going to be like? Yes. Yeah, again, you have the clouds. So Jesus is talking about that. You have that same thing coming with the clouds. Yes, in the back, Daniel. It'll be really dark. Yeah. How many of you, did anybody see the eclipse? I thought it was cloudy here. That's pretty impressive, right? That's just an eclipse. Imagine this, the moon turning to blood. Yeah, exactly. It'll be noticeable, right? You think you would notice. Suddenly you can see the sunlight out here and it just went away. We would notice it. Yeah. Trumpet. So not only will you be able to see it, a loud trumpet is something you can hear. Anybody have a family member or maybe you yourself or sibling who's played the trumpet? A few of you? When they practice, is it quiet? And you're like, oh, I didn't even know you were practicing. No, it's loud. Trumpets are loud, right? You don't really miss it. Somebody's playing a trumpet, and it says loud trumpet. So this is going to be announced. It'll be visible. He's coming back, and people will know. So it's not going to be possible for us to miss it. Nobody will miss this. They won't be like, oh, sorry, I missed it. They won't miss it. And we will see Jesus. So when that happens, we'll actually get to know how tall he is. So we don't know the answer to that question now, but we'll be able to see him. We'll be able to see if he's taller than me or shorter than me or the same height or whatever. We'll be able to see Jesus, see his body, and understand what he is like. Now, one of the things this passage of Scripture talks about here is the gathering of the elect. What does that mean? The gathering of the elect. Those are the people who've believed in Jesus. They have trusted in him. And he says that he's going to gather them. So when Jesus returns, some will still be alive at that point, and all the rest who've died throughout history will be raised just like Jesus was. So there'll be people who are there. They'll see all of that. They'll hear all of that. They'll be with Jesus. But those who have died already will be raised, and we will see Jesus together. So he'll gather them all from the four winds, from all directions, from all over. We'll all be gathered together, and we'll see Jesus, regardless of whether we're alive at the time of his coming or we've already passed away at that point. We'll all see Jesus together. My grandfather passed away 5 years ago. He was 94, and he was a believer in Jesus. I have a picture. This is the last picture that I have with him, so he's there in the middle. That's my dad on the left, and yes, on the right, that's me back when I had hair. And that's my grandfather in the middle. So that's the last picture that I have of him. He passed away, but he was a believer in Jesus. So if Jesus came back right now, right, all of us who are here, we're alive. All of us who are here who believe in Jesus, we would be gathered with him, and all those people, like my grandfather and other people, maybe you know somebody who is a believer in Jesus who's passed away, we would all be gathered together to see Jesus at his promised coming. That's the future. That scripture is very clear about that. That's really important. Jesus is coming back, and we will see him. The same Jesus who was crucified. The same Jesus who walked this earth 2,000 years ago. Now, as we talk about that, being raised and seeing Jesus, maybe that raises some questions for you, but that's a good segue to our second point. What do we need to know about the end? Well, our resurrection is coming. So Jesus is coming back, and our resurrection is coming. All right, would somebody read 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23 for us? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20 to 23. Anybody want to read that for us, please? Who's got it? Someone, anyone. All right, thank you. So, Christ was raised from the dead, right? Yes? Can I get an amen or a head nod? I'll grant you that. Yes, yeah, so Christ was raised from the dead. That's what it's talking about here. And because Christ was raised, we also will be raised who believe in him, raised to new life. So that's our resurrection. It's coming. So just as all die in Adam, so all who trust in Christ will be made alive with him. But it says there, but each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, in other words, that already happened. And then when? At his coming, those who belong to Christ. So in the future, we who believe in Jesus will all be resurrected just like Jesus has been. We will also be raised. You know what that means? That means that death is not final. Death is not final. We'll all die at some point, but death is not the end. Death is not final because we will be raised. When the disciples went to the tomb of Jesus, remember that story? When they went to the tomb, what did they find? The tomb was what? Just shout it out. Empty. The tomb was empty. Why is it empty? What would have been there? A body, right? A corpse, a dead person. But there is no body there. Why is there not a body? Because Jesus was raised. Because Jesus' body that had died was raised up. The very body that he had, he was walking around with it, in it. You would put it that way. While they're looking in the tomb, his body is somewhere else because he's alive. Now that maybe seems elementary. You're like, yes, we know that. We celebrated Easter. We just did that a few weeks ago. But it's something we need to really grasp. Because if we're going to be raised like Christ, do you have a body? Yes, dumb question. Yes, you have bodies. Is your body going to die someday? Yes. More dumb questions. Like, I'm glad I came to TNT to hear Pastor Stephen. He's got a bunch of dumb questions. But if those things are true and we'll be raised with Christ, that means that one day your body, which will be dead, will also then be alive again. And for all of us who believe in Jesus, your grave will one day also be empty. And we don't know how we're going to end up, but most of us probably will end up in a coffin, put us in the ground, have a headstone, have your name on it. When Christ comes back, we'll be raised. That grave will be empty. Just like his tomb is empty. Your body, this body that you have right now, that you're sitting here in, will be raised up. For those who belong to Christ, who've been joined with him by faith. Notice what it says there. Those who belong to Christ. So you ask yourself, do I belong to Christ? Have I trusted in him? The answer to that is yes, and that means you will be raised to new life. Just like Christ was. So death isn't final. There is more to come. There is more ahead. Now, do we have any, this is not a dumb question, do we have any soccer fans? Any soccer fans? Okay, good. Soccer fans, somebody who knows, can you explain to us what in a soccer match what stoppage time is or extra time? Somebody explain that for those of us who are not soccer fans. Anybody know? All right, go for it. So what is stoppage time? Yeah, they added on. So if there's penalties or there's stop in play, they just let the clock run. And when it hits 90 minutes, is the game over if there's stoppage time? No, because there's extra at the end. Now, what would happen if one of the teams didn't know that? And they're like, yay, we got to 90 minutes, game over, and they all run off the field. How many goals do you think the other team could score at the end of a match if there's no other players? I mean, even I could score in a match like that, okay? So they would get a lot of points. If the one team doesn't know that there is more to the game after the clock runs out, they wouldn't be playing it right. They have to know that. The reality is for us as Christians to recognize there is more to life after death. In fact, it's not just stoppage time, which is like a little bit most of the time. For us, there is actually going to be more in the future than we experience before death. Much, much more. An eternity with the Lord. So our resurrection is coming. It's coming ahead. And it's going to be in this body, the one you have right now. Now, maybe for some of you, you're like, oh, man, I don't really like this body. It's got some issues. I'm not sure I want to keep it. I'm not sure I want to keep it for eternity. Or maybe you're like, huh, that's weird. What is that going to be like? Well, that's a great question. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 15 again, but this is verses 37 through 44. So let me just read this for us. This is Paul talking about death. He's basically addressing that question. What is the resurrection going to be like? And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. It's kind of making a complicated argument there. He's talking about different types of bodies, different types of glory. But the overall part is there. What we have now is perishable, right? You get sick, you get hurt, you can die, things can happen. But the resurrected body is imperishable. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. So the future body is going to be different. It's going to be greater. Paul uses the seed imagery, and it turns into something greater. So our body is like the seed, and the resurrected body is like the imperishable future that never gets sick, never dies, never has injury. It's glorious. Okay, so I need a volunteer. Who wants to volunteer? I need a volunteer over here. Somebody. Okay, Bronwyn. Come on up. She's brave. See, she volunteered and she doesn't know what the future is, what's happening. So I want you to look at this and tell me if you know what that is. It's a piece of corn. Yes, indeed. It's actually an ear of corn. A friend of mine gave that to me. It's a heritage blue corn. So most corn is yellow, but this is blue. So you take those little kernels of corn and you plant that seed. What would grow? Yeah, a corn plant. Yes, exactly. Good job. Thank you for that very much, Bronwyn. Give Bronwyn a round of applause for that. This is basically the example that Paul is giving. He's saying you have a little seed, and this is a bunch of seeds, but if you had just took one of these and you planted it, what would grow? A corn plant. They get tall. They're very strong. And the glory of the plant is greater than the glory of the seed. And the plant that comes from the seed is something that corresponds to what was planted. So if you plant this, you're not going to end up with wheat, for example. You're not going to get a pineapple if you plant these seeds. You're going to get corn. And that's basically the argument that Paul is making there. He's saying the seed goes into the ground, that is this body, but what is raised corresponds to it. So the body that you're going to have is going to be greater than the one you have now, but it's going to have continuity. It's going to be you. It's going to be the same person, just like Jesus' body had continuity. But it's going to be glorious. It's going to be greater. It's going to be impressive, more than what you know. If you had never seen corn before and you just looked at one of these seeds, you wouldn't have any idea what a corn plant would be like. If you look at an acorn, you couldn't picture an oak tree unless you had seen one before. And that's the same kind of thing in our lives. All right, so talking about a few things. Christ is coming. We are going to be resurrected. Another thing I want to mention here about the future is that judgment is certain. What's coming in the future, what's ahead for us, is judgment. There will be an assessment of us in the future. So would somebody read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. We've got it. Go for it. Thanks. Thank you. So, who is going to be judged according to the text there? Everyone. He says, we all will appear. Who is going to do the judging? Who's the judge? Somebody said it over here. Jesus. The one who died on our behalf, who is raised, he who is coming back, he is going to judge who? Some people? Really bad people? Everyone. All of us. He's going to give an assessment of our lives. He's going to judge how we have lived, how we've done. I'm going to read another passage of Scripture. This is from the last book of the Bible. As Pastor Nick said, you started in Genesis. Now we're ending in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. It says this. This is the Apostle John talking about the vision that he sees. He says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Now, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about from that passage of Scripture, but what I want to highlight here is the books, the records of our deeds and our actions. You know that God keeps a record of our actions? How would he judge us if he didn't know what we had done? What everybody has done. God keeps a record of what I've done, what you've done, what everybody has done. Also, that means God has kept a record of everything that's been done to us. So maybe there's something horrible that somebody has done to you that no one knows about. And it seems like that person has gotten away with it. You're like, they're just going to get away with it. Nobody's going to know. The reality is they haven't gotten away with it because God knows. And that's a comforting thing to think about. But it's, on the other hand, it's kind of a scary thing to think about the fact that God knows what we've done. He keeps a record of what we've done because of the bad things that I've done. But here's the thing, though. In this passage, it mentions the book of life. What is that? This is the record of all of those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. It says their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if you belong to Jesus, if you have trusted in him, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what that means is then the record of the things that we've done, the sins that we have done, that record has been transferred. And now that record has been transferred to Christ. So the record of the sinful, bad things that we have done, that record has been transferred to him. And he's transferred his record to us. Have you ever had the experience, I've had this experience, you've ever failed a test, and you get it back, and you're like, oh, that's a lot of red marks. You go through, you're kind of flipping through the pages, you go, oh, I hope I get to one. Oh, there's one that was right, okay. So imagine that, you get your name on it, you know, yeah, you failed the test. But Jesus comes and he says, I've aced the test. Perfect record. And I'm going to switch with you. He takes our failed test. And we get his perfect score. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means, the transfer of righteousness, to be justified by Christ. And so as Christians, we stand in that place. But if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then you stand on your own record. So that judgment is coming. As believers in Christ, God has a mission for us, and he's going to call us to that, and he's going to assess us. But our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done. All right, the last thing here, as we come to the end of the semester and the end of the message on end times. The last thing is the restoration of heaven and earth is ahead. The restoration of heaven and earth. Two things I want you to know about this that the Bible is certain about. The first one is that God will restore all things. God is about bringing restoration. So the last verse here, would somebody read Revelation 21, verse 5. Revelation 21, verse 5. Who wants to read? Go for it. Behold, I am making all things new. You know, God isn't wasting anything. He doesn't just look at this world with all its issues and problems and just say, you know what, we could really use a do-over. Let's just crumble that one up, throw it away, and start over. That's not what he's doing. He's making all things new. He is restoring. That applies to me, to you. It applies to all of creation. He is restoring it. So that's the first thing. God is making all things new. The second thing is that God will dwell with us. Also in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 3, says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. So God is going to dwell with us. So you think about the future. What's going to happen? Christ is going to come back. We will be resurrected. There will be judgment. And then God is going to dwell with his people. So what is heaven? Heaven is the dwelling place of God. What is earth? Earth is the dwelling place for humankind. And here we have this picture that those two things are coming together. Heaven coming down from earth. God will dwell with us. It is a new earth, and God is going to bring heaven down here so that he can live among us. Our final dwelling place is to live in the light of God in a new restored earth. It's not for us to go up and live in heaven somewhere. It is us dwelling with God because God comes to us. And this new earth and this new heaven will have continuity with the old ones like our resurrected body. It's as though the earth is being raised up from the dead. We will be with God, to dwell with him in his home forever. That's where we're headed. So, as we look at these things, as we look at the end, is the future bad or good? What do you think? Is the future bad or good? Yeah. Exactly right. For those of us who follow Christ, the future is great. The future is bright. Should we be scared about the future? No. We should be rejoicing. We should be glad because the future, if we belong to Christ, the future is glorious, beautiful, even beyond what we can imagine. If we don't follow Christ, then it's not that. It should be scary because we're going to have to be face to face with him. But for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, the future is glorious and beautiful, and I look forward to seeing you there someday. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessings that you've given us, the gifts. Thank you that you reveal to us what the future holds. We know what the future is going to be, even though maybe we don't know the time, we don't know all the details, but we know the important things. But thank you that you are coming back. Thank you that you are going to raise us up. Thank you that you are going to judge the living and the dead. And thank you that you are restoring, making things new, and you will dwell with us. We thank you for that, Lord. Father, I ask your blessing upon the teens as they go, as they discuss, also into this summer and the things that they have in their future. Father, we ask your blessing upon that as they go. We pray all of this in the name of Christ the King. guys.